What's up, Knoll Nation? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and thanks for tuning in. Florida State, Virginia Tech. Saturday, 3:30, in front of a sold-out crowd at Doak Campbell Stadium. I'm excited for this matchup because these are two of the better football brands in the ACC, and I know that Virginia Tech has been down for some time now. They had some early success when they joined the conference, but these are two of the brands, at least in the ACC, that take football serious. They have two really good fan bases, and frankly, these two don't meet enough. I wish they played more often. When I was doing some research for this episode, they have now been in the ACC. This is their 20th season, and Florida State and Virginia Tech have only met four times in the regular season. Of course, we know they do have a history that includes meeting for a national championship, as well as some ACC title games, but it feels like we just haven't played them forever. Of course, we know the last game was in 2018, and that is one that we really choose to forget. I was there that night, and of course, I was swag surfing in the crowd and having a great time. It was all fine and dandy until things kicked off, and then it was a long, slow ride downhill from there. But hopefully this time goes a little better. I think that really the most disappointing thing about this matchup is just the fact that the last couple of times they've met, last time and this time, one of the other team has been down. So you really haven't got the level of play on the field that you hoped for, but I still think it's a fun matchup. I think they're going to travel well. They typically do. They have a lot of fan support in that program. So I'm excited to talk about this game with you guys. Before we get into it real quick, I do want to let you know about today's sponsor, and that is Alumni Hall FSU. They have all the FSU gear you guys want, including the new Seminole Heritage Collection with the turquoise that looks really good. I'm loving this look. Now, it's selling fast, so you're going to want to get your hands on it, and you can get it at a great price using code SPEAR to get 10% off your order online or in-store. So go check them out, alumnihall.com. Navigate to the FSU page. If you're in Tallahassee, their location is 1817 Thomasville Road. I'll be stopping by there on Saturday to see if I can get some of that new Seminole Heritage gear that, like I said, I really like the look of it. I think it's some nice looking stuff. So appreciate you guys supporting our sponsor who supports us. Now let's get into this game. I'm excited to be back in Doak on Saturday. You know, we haven't had a home game in almost a month. This is only the second home game of the year so far. So I know, we had the neutral site game, which was a de facto home game, but there's nothing like being back in Doak. And this is going to be a fun one. Being that it's sold out, I think you're going to have a little bit of a visitor section like we talked about. So they might make a little bit of noise too. But I just think this is going to be a fun one. So when you look at Virginia Tech and you talk about where they're at as a program. So they're in year two under Brent Pry. And they're in a rebuild. They had Fuente that they brought over from Memphis. They had some early success, but things really didn't pan out the way they thought. And so they made the change. Now, if I'm being completely honest, whenever they hired Brent Pry, to me, it honestly kind of felt like a program stabilizer hire. It didn't really scream that they were ready to be back playing big boy football. It was not necessarily like a household name, but when you look at Brent Pry, I mean, he's a defensive coordinator that come from Penn State. He has ties to the program. He actually, I believe, was a GA under Bud Foster, their famous defensive coordinator. So you see the ties to the program. I had a chance to be around him at ACC Media Days, and he's a really likable guy. He had some fun comments, So I hope he does get things turned around there because it is fun to see when Virginia Tech is back. And, I don't know that we're going to be in the ACC in 2025, but we are scheduled to have a return trip up there. So I'm excited to be able to experience a game in Lane Stadium because it is pretty awesome. But when you talk about what they've done so far, they had a pretty disappointing year last year, 3-8. We know they only played 11 games because the Virginia game got canceled. 1-6 in the ACC, not exactly what they were hoping for. But from what I understand, that roster was really devoid of talent. And they've done a good job of bringing some pieces in the portal. Now, I think you're kind of looking at two different stories here when you talk about Florida State, who does use the portal a lot too. I think Florida State, they have a pretty decent talent floor, and they brought in some really high-end pieces to go with it. Virginia Tech is really just trying to get some competent football players in there, and they've done a good job of getting some guys who look like some nice players. Unfortunately, while the talent level has come up this year, they've still gotten off to a rough start. 2-3 so far this season with some really not the toughest strength of schedule to start with. They have losses that include Purdue, who we know lost their coach to Louisville last year. They also lost Aiden O'Connell, their one of their best quarterbacks that they've had in a long time. So you also lose to Rutgers, who to be honest, Rutgers, their only loss is to Michigan, who's number two in the country. But at the same time, Rutgers hasn't played anybody besides Michigan. They also lost to Marshall, which obviously you never want to lose to a non-Power 5 team. But Marshall's a pretty respectable program. They are 4-0 right now. So it's just not been the start that they've wanted. Their only win comes against Old Dominion. And to be honest, when I first saw that win, they scored, I believe, 36 points in that game. And I thought maybe when you looked back at what they did in 2022, the offense was really their Achilles heel. It was the boat anchor that dragged that team down. They averaged only 19.3 points per game, which was the lowest since 1989. So they were really anemic on offense. But some of the pieces they brought in, they scored 36 points in that first game. I was like, okay, well, maybe they found some life, because that was really the question for 2023. Could they find life on offense? Because you figured with a defensive-minded head coach that they would get that side of the ball going eventually. And their defense wasn't terrible last year. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. So when you saw that game, though, it turns out that Old Dominion, they're currently 2-3. They're just not very good. I believe they had like a two-point win over Texas A&M Commonwealth not long ago, a couple weeks ago. So that win may have looked a little better at the time, but they also got a pretty big win this last Saturday. Now, to be honest, it was against Pitt. So if we're keeping it real, Pitt sucks this year. There's no nice way to say it. They're 1-4. The only team they beat is Wofford, who is an FCS team. So it was a really bad year for Pitt. They lost a lot of talent, but this was still a huge win for Virginia Tech. This is the type of win that we know as watching Florida State go through a rebuild. Sometimes when you get just something you can build off of, the second half of that Louisville game for us a few years ago was something that really kind of started FSU down the path to getting back to where they want to be. And that's the type of win, while even if it wasn't against a great team, you can still have something to go back and hang your hat on to build off of. And it could really provide them some momentum going forward the rest of the season. Like, I don't think they're going to win on Saturday, but they do have some very, very winnable games, and a bowl game could be realistic for them if a few things go their way. But I just don't, like, they played extremely well in that game, if we're being honest. It was 38-21, and Pitt scored on a 4-yard scoop and score. So the game wasn't really as close as maybe it looked. They played well. I just don't want to, when I look at this preview, I think it's huge for their confidence. I think it's huge for their quarterback's confidence, who's a young guy, and we're going to talk about him in a second, because he had a really big game, accounted for 5 touchdowns, over 300 all-purpose yards in that one. That's really big for their confidence coming into the next week, even if they are running into a buzzsaw this week. I still think that's huge for them, but I don't want to, as well as they played in that game, I don't want to necessarily like bet the farm based on fool's gold, because it was against a very bad Pitt team at home at night with a sold out crowd, decided crowd advantage, which is something Virginia Tech is used to. I think when you look going into this week now, you have them playing not only the best team they played so far, just from a pure out talent standpoint, they're also going to be playing in the toughest atmosphere they played in a sold out Duke Campbell Stadium, because their road games were at Rutgers and Marshall. And I know some guys that cover Virginia Tech, some friends of mine. And so I kind of keep an eye on them now. I watch what they post and stuff like that. So they actually had a really good away crowd at that game. I think he told me they brought a few thousand people to that game that they helped distribute tickets to. So they do travel well, but they have not played in that really tough road environment. And I did lean on them to kind of get some insights in this program. What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? And one of the things that they told me was that communication on the field has been an issue for them in the past few weeks, because they've had some injuries, they've had to move some guys around. And so you wonder if when they get into a situation where Doak is rocking, the crowd is loud, you can't really hear that well, you already have some communication issues, maybe they're down a couple scores early. Because the thing about Virginia Tech is, as bad as it has been, they play close games. They have only, when I went back and looked from last year to this year, they've really only been blown out one time, and that was by North Carolina last year. So even a 3-8 team and 2-3 into this year, they do keep games pretty close. But how do they respond if maybe they get down a couple scores early and the crowd noise is there and they have a few miscommunications? That's what I'm interested to see in this game when you talk about that atmosphere, because we know Virginia Tech is used to having the crowd on their side. But we'll see how that plays out. So let's run through some quick notes on them before we get into the offense and defensive previews here. So in S&P Plus rankings, which is, it's more of an opponent-adjusted pace of play strength of ranking system. And the thing about that is it's kind of hard to gauge how good everybody is early in the season, but this is a better attempt than just using raw numbers. So Virginia Tech currently in just overall team rankings of S&P Plus is 68th in the country. Their offensive adjusted rankings are at 82nd, defense at 55th. So a better defense, but there's a little bit more to that. Special teams 41st, which we know Beamer Ball is still in their DNA. They've typically always been good as special teams. Now, I think the thing to pay attention to here is when we talk about that strength of schedule. So far, Virginia Tech has not played any teams in the S&P top 50 yet, and they are 0-2 against S&P teams in the top 60, because I think Purdue and maybe Rutgers or Marshall's like mid to low 50s there. For reference, on the other hand, Florida State is currently 2-0 against S&P Plus teams in the top 20. Now, of course, you have BC down at 97th and Southern Miss at 117th, because Southern Miss is just really having a terrible year. I think they're 1-4. They're probably not going to even make a bowl game this year. But they are 0-2 in road games. Like we said, they lost at Rutgers and at Marshall. And running through their schedule real quick, when you talk about game one, they beat Old Dominion, who's now 2-3. They won 36-17. Old Dominion is ranked 100th in the S&P rankings. The thing that stands out to me about the Old Dominion game, Virginia Tech has had a really terrible rushing defense, and we'll talk about that in the defensive section, but they gave up over 200 yards on the ground to Old Dominion. Old Dominion had three turnovers, and it still really wasn't that big of a blowout, 36-17, like we said. They only threw for 94 yards, but the 201 yards was their second highest rushing total of the season. Now, one thing to keep in mind with Old Dominion, they ran for, it was almost or maybe even over 300 yards against Marshall. And that's important when you kind of look at the yardage that Virginia Tech, it was one of their better rushing games. They were able to put up some yards in that one. So keep that in mind as we go forward. Now, Virginia Tech, they did run for only 109 yards against Old Dominion, but that was still when Grant Wells was the quarterback, not Kyron Jones, the dual threat guy. But they only averaged 2.5 yards per carry. Because one thing about Virginia Tech, they pound the rock. It is not for lack of trying why they struggle to run the ball. As a matter of fact, against Pitt, they ran the ball 59 times, which I don't know that I've ever heard of a team running it that much that's not an option team. But looking at game two against Purdue, they lost 24-17. Purdue put up 248 passing, 149 on the ground. Now, the number that really stands out to me in game two, Virginia Tech did throw for 275. And the thing about the quarterbacks, and we'll talk about them, Grant Wells is a little bit better thrower of the ball. He was a two-time All-Conference USA player. He's a very experienced guy. So you can see the passing numbers were higher, and they started to trail down once they made a switch at quarterback due to injury. But they only ran for 11 yards in that game. That is unreal. They had 22 carries, half a yard per carry. Now, there was some weather in that game. It was a long delay. I think there's some rain and stuff like that too. So maybe that plays into it a little bit, but Purdue still ran for 179 yards. So half a yard per carry is one of the lowest totals I've probably ever seen in a college game. That's really, really bad. So looking at game three, they lost to Rutgers 35-16. This was their kind of most wide gap loss of the season. Rutgers only threw for 46 yards, but they ran for 256 and averaged 7.5 yards per carry. Virginia Tech, on the other hand, they did run for over 100 yards in that game, but it was only an average of 3.3 yards per carry. So you can see they run the ball a lot, and they do rack up some yards in a few of these games, but it's because they run the ball so much. It's not like they're getting a lot of successful runs. Now, talking about game four, looking at Marshall, they lost that game 24-17. Marshall put up over 214 rushing yards in that game, 4.9 yards per carry. This was one of their better running games for Virginia Tech. 184 yards on the ground, 6.1 yards per carry. That's more what you expect from a team that likes to run the ball. Now, talking about game five, and we already hinted at this one earlier, this was their biggest and best game of the season so far. Of course, it had to happen right before they played Florida State, but they were actually favored by 2.5 against Pitt. Now, when you talk about a team that came into that game 1-3 at home at night, only a 2.5-point favorite, it just goes to show you how bad Pitt is. But they won that game 38-21. Like we said, one of those touchdowns came on a four-yard scoop and score by a fumble by Virginia Tech. So the game really was a little bit more out of reach than 38-21 sounds. Pitt threw for 235 yards in that game, and there was more out there. There was more available. Dracovic is just – he just – actually, right before I recorded this, I saw that he got benched. He has not been good. He was not really that good at Boston College. And I know he had a tough situation there, and I don't mean to pile on the guy, but I've never really been a believer in Dracovic. He was dealing with a lower body injury, so that had a little bit to do probably with some of his throwing mechanics and things like that, but it just wasn't a good game, and he actually just got benched. Pitt only ran for 38 yards in this game. This was by far the best game defensively that Virginia Tech has played. They only averaged 2.4 yards per carry. Virginia Tech, on the other hand, got some things going in this game. 228 passing through the air, 199 on the ground. But again, it was only 3.4 yards per carry because they ran the ball 59 times. When you look at this game, Virginia Tech ran 29 more plays, which was, it was almost double what Pitt ran, which is kind of crazy to think about. Of Virginia Tech's runs, 14 of their runs, 26%, went for 0 yards or less. 22 runs, 41%, went for 2 yards or less. So it's kind of a feast or famine type of run game. And when we talk about their offense, and we can go ahead and move into that now, when I asked the Virginia Tech guys, I said, hey, what is your one biggest strength and your one biggest weakness? And what they told me as far as their biggest weakness was their offensive line. They said they are kind of undersized, not the most talented group, and it's just really a glaring weakness for them. The talent level is kind of low, and they don't have a lot of experience on top of that. So you can really kind of see that narrative play through in a lot of their stats where they, like I said, a lot of their runs are feast or famine when you look at the pressure ratio or the pressure stats and stuff like that, which we're going to talk about. So that is something to keep in mind. And, you know, when they told me that the offensive line is the weakness, of course, that makes your mouth water as a Florida State fan because you know how this defensive line can be dominant and they're deep. So I think we should have a very successful day in controlling the trenches. And it'll be big in this game when you talk about a dual threat quarterback who is now running their offense. So overall, their scoring offense is at 24.8 points per game, 95th in the country. Not doing a lot there. We saw through the scores that we just talked about, they got locked into that 16 to 17 point range a few times, but at the same time, they did manage to break the 30 point margin, which they didn't do at all last year. So that is big for them as well. Rushing offense comes in at 126 yards per game, 102nd in the country. So they've struggled to run the ball. Now Drones does help with that. Their passing offense, 222 yards per game, 84th in the country. This was, they did not throw for over 200 yards in the last, I believe it was two games, and then they crossed that in this last one against Pitt. So it's been a little bit of adjustment period for Drones. And when you talk about the quarterback here, coming into the season, Grant Wells was the more experienced guy. But Drones is someone who has a higher ceiling, but he just didn't have a lot of experience. He only had 22 pass attempts at his time at Baylor. But he was a former four-star recruit. Like I said, he transferred in from Baylor this year. And it was a guy that you thought you could see them using some packages, you know, running the ball and things like that. But maybe they would have to bring him along throughout the season. He wasn't maybe ready for that starting role. And then injury forced him into the job. Now, he has played the last three games for them, Rutgers, Marshall, and Pitt. So he has got a little bit of experience, and he has gotten better week over week, which is something that, like, we saw with the Boston College kid. And, of course, anytime you talk about a dual-threat quarterback, it does kind of make you nervous as an FSU fan. But this is a different kind of quarterback when you talk about a dual threat guy that Florida State has seen. You know, we think of Jaden Daniels, a scrambler, one of the best scramblers in the country. That was kind of the same thing we saw with Castellanos, a real kind of shifty guy, a scrambling. When the protection breaks down, he takes off and that's where he hurts you. But Drones is a different kind of runner. He is more of a designed run guy. He doesn't scramble a whole lot. Obviously, when you have an offensive line like they do, you have to move the pocket, and he will scramble. But a lot of his stuff comes on design runs. He actually ran the ball 21 times against Pitt last week. Now, I don't know that you want to do that against Florida State's defense that has played really physical this year, because they will make you pay for it, and he will feel it after this game. But he is probably their best player on offense. Now, they do have a talented running back, which we'll touch on too. But so far, as just a dual-threat guy, he has accounted for 75-plus rushing yards in all three games that he's played in, and that is sack-adjusted yards, 182 yards came on design runs, 84 on scrambles. So you can see he's definitely more of a design run guy. And the thing about drones is he's not the fastest quarterback out there. He doesn't really have breakaway speed. He's not going to run away from you in the open field. But he's one of those big physical strider type quarterbacks. Like, I'm not even remotely saying that he's as good as the guy I'm going to compare him to. So don't clip me on this one. But he kind of reminds me of a runner like a Cam Newton in a way. Just that the guy that looks like he's jogging down the field, but he's just covering space because he's 6'2", 235. So he's a big guy, physical runner. He isn't like necessarily a real shifty dude, but he will lower his shoulder. He is a very physical runner. He seeks contact. It's almost like he sees the defender coming and he would rather run through you than around you. So that's going to be something to watch. But again, you're also talking about playing a different level of defense. And our linebackers have been extremely physical this season so far. So that might be something he might not want to think about doing there. Now, he was sacked 4 times against Rutgers and 4 times against Marshall and was sacked 2 times against Pitt. His pressure to sack ratio, which is how many times you're able to get pressure that it turns into a sack, is almost 30%, and that is really high. So you can see just playing behind that offensive line and being a young guy, maybe not completely comfortable in the offense yet, you're going to have some opportunities for sacks here. Now, of course, you know when you play a dual threat guy, you do have to kind of play it in a way where you got to be very disciplined on defense because you don't want to over pursue and then let him break loose on you. Now, Virginia Tech, the way they run the ball, they try to get the edge on you a lot. And so I don't think you can necessarily just pin your ears back in this one because you have to set that edge, because we know with a struggling offensive line, especially against a defensive line like Florida State's, which will by far be the best they face this season, it's going to be tough to run the ball at the middle. So they're going to try and get the edge on you. So you're going to have to play disciplined defense in this one. But like I said, Drones is a guy who, he is a good runner, and you have to respect that. But I like that Florida State has seen a few mobile guys so far this season, so they do know how to really defend them. But I mean, I know we've struggled against mobile quarterbacks, but most teams do, because anytime you have a mobile quarterback, it gives you another player, another threat that you have to defend. And if you're going to spy them, you also have to rob and, you know, you basically have to steal a defender from somewhere else. And that's something that we know when we watch Jordan Travis. Like, we want him to run more because we know how much of a threat that ability is. So it's not like struggling against mobile quarterbacks is exclusive to Florida State. It just happens to be something that they've struggled with, which is the one thing that does make me nervous in this game. Now, when you talk about passing, so in his first 2 games, he did not cross the 200-yard mark, but also keep in mind they did lose their best receiver to injury, which we'll talk about in just a second. And in those games, he did not cross the 200-yard mark, and he only had 1 touchdown and 1 interception in 2 games. So a little bit of a rough start, but you saw them able to kind of figure out what they wanted to do with him. They started throwing a lot of short passes to try and get him in rhythm. He's been pretty good when you talk about the short to mid-range passes, and they throw almost, I believe it was almost 60% of their passes are sub 10 yards. So they'd like to keep the ball close. Now, he's been pretty good at your mid-range passes, which is 10 to 19 yards. He's 8 for 10 for 132 yards. But when you look at the deep passing, like I said, he's got a good arm. He's just not a guy that's been proven that he can stretch the field on you vertically. He's only 2 of 16 when you talk about passes of over 20 yards. Now, the 2 completions that he has did go for touchdowns. But again, 2 of 16 is not very great numbers when you talk about stretching the field. Now, he did drop a dime into a bucket against Pitt last week. But I do want to touch on Pitt for just 1 second when you talk about this game. And this is what I mean by I don't want to take the bait for fool's gold here because Pitt isn't any good. But their defense is better than their offense, so I will give them credit there. But Drones is a guy, again, I think with a young quarterback who has yet to play in a really tough road environment and is still, he's got a little confidence after last week, but I feel like this is a guy that you can rattle him. If you're able to make him pat the ball a few times or think twice, then you have an opportunity against his defense or against with your defensive line, against that offensive line, to get in the backfield. And when I did the rewatch against Pitt, they were in the backfield for a majority of that game. So I think Florida State will have an opportunity to win the battle up front and will affect the game. Now, when you talk about the other talented player that they have on offense, I think they found a diamond in the rough when you talk about their running back. I hope I say this right. Bashaw Tootin, He transferred in from North Carolina A&T, was an FCS All-American, put up over 1,600 all-purpose yards in 2022. He's a quality back. He's not really the biggest guy, 5'11", 200 pounds, but he's a very physical player. He has speed, and he can make you miss. According to Pro Football Focus, 77% of his yards have come after contact. So on the one hand, that speaks to how good he is. On the other hand, that speaks to how bad that offensive line is, that he's getting hit early and often, but he's able to make some things happen. And when you watch him play, you'll see what I mean. He's like a, you know, like a kind of a smaller bowling ball type of guy. And he can do some things out of the backfield as well, talking about catching the ball. He added 30 yards and a touchdown through the air against Pitt. But he did crack the 100-yard mark last Saturday against Pitt. That was his first 100-yard game of the season. But this is a pretty talented running back. So he's another physical guy. And between him and Drones, you have a pretty talented rushing duo to look out for. Again, when you talk about talented duo here, we're not talking about something like Jaden Daniels. We're not talking about Will Shipley here. We're talking about really pretty decent college football players. They're going to be better than what you're going to see against, say, like a Boston College or something like that. And I know you know, we had some struggles against them, but a lot of that had to do with the flu. So really my point here is that although they're 2-3, they have some playmakers. It's just not anything more than what you've seen already. So when you talk about this rush offense, that's the thing. They just have struggled to get the ball going this year, and they run the ball a lot to try and get it going. But they've averaged under 3.5 yards per carry in 4 out of the 5 games this season. So while they do have some talent, that offensive line struggle, which Lord knows we can relate to that as Florida State fans. We know how much offensive line struggles can hurt you. So that is something that's probably going to be the deciding factor in this game, is Florida State's ability to win the trenches against their offense. Now, when you talk about the receiving core here, they have a couple of talented guys that have some experience. When you look at their 3 top wide receivers, they're all seniors. Now, they have 5 guys so far this season that have crossed the 100-yard mark, so they have some guys who have been able to be productive, including tight end Daquan Wright and the running back Tootin. He also has over 100 yards receiving this year as well. Daquan Felton, he leads the team in receiving with 209 yards, and he's kind of like their version of Johnny Wilson, 6'5", 215 pounds, big target out wide for them. The other guy who leads the team in touchdowns, this name might sound a little familiar to you. Jalen Lane transferred in from Middle Tennessee State last year after putting up a 130-yard performance against the Miami Hurricanes. So you may remember him streaking up and down the sidelines for touchdowns against Miami last year. I think he caught a 95-yard bomb for a touchdown or something like that. So, you know, tip of the cap to him, even though he's on the opposite sideline this year. But one thing that I do want to point out, when I started looking at some more advanced stats on PFF, and again, we know PFF can be hit or miss on some of these things, but when you talk about Jalen Lane, Felton, and Wright, right now, per PFF, they are 0-for-11 on contested catches this season. So we know that Florida State likes to play a lot of man coverage, so it'll be important for the defensive backs to challenge these receivers in this game and just kind of see what they're made of. And we know the secondary has struggled a little bit for Florida State. I'm really hoping to see Akeem Dent back. He is listed on the depth chart, but he was listed against Clemson and did not play. But if you have him back, that would be nice. I don't think he needs to play the whole game, but just to have that veteran presence on the back end of your defense, I think that's really the key that's been missing here. But again, I think you'll be fine without him in this one. But they have some decent receivers, but I think if you get in their face and you challenge them and play physical like our DBs tend to do, I think you'll have success against them. Now, when you just look at the offensive line the offense as a whole for Virginia Tech, they've only put up over 400 yards one time on offense this season, despite not playing great teams. They have gotten better as they progress, but this isn't really an offense that scares you when you talk about already playing LSU and Clemson. I feel like if you can win the battle up front, put some pressure on Drones, they should have a successful day. It's just going to be really important to contain Drones' running ability. Even knowing that they scored 38 points last week, I did actually up my score prediction after I watched the Pitt game, because I had made a score prediction for a guest post on a blog, a Virginia Tech blog, and I did up the point total a little bit for Virginia Tech once I saw the game that they had, because it will be big for his confidence going forward, but I still think you can hold them to around 20 points or so, and there should be some garbage time in this game. That's what I'm hoping for, but we know that the defense has given up some points in garbage time, so that could make the game look a little bit closer than it should. Now, when you talk about, when you flip sides of the ball and you talk about Virginia Tech's defense, it has really been a tale of two opposites. And I want to provide some context around some of this as well, because I think it's maybe, some of this is a little overinflated. When you look at their rushing defense, it's one of the worst rushing defenses in the country. They are currently allowing 178 yards per game on the ground, 110th in the country, and that includes giving up over 200 yards rushing in three of their five games. Now, like we said, they did hold Pitt to 38 yards. It was 72 total yards, sack adjusted, because they got Dracovic on the ground four times in that game. And again, keep in mind, Dracovic is not a mobile guy already, and he was also dealing with a lower body injury in that game. But when you talk about Pitt, they have already had the 112th ranked rushing offense. And when on the rewatch, the broadcasters, they did talk about how Pitt has been battling injuries on the offensive line. They've had like four or five different combos in the first few games, so it's not really been their strength. But it's still a massive improvement from their past performances when you talk about what Virginia Tech's defense was able to do in that game. And they did play really well. They did bottle up a lot of their runs. Now, when you talk about their passing defense, like I said before, when I asked the Virginia Tech guys what were your biggest strengths and weaknesses, they said their biggest strength was by far their secondary. They said this group can be locked down at times. And to be honest, when you look at the raw numbers, they currently have the 10th ranked pass defense. But again, this is why I don't think you can necessarily just use raw numbers, because you have to provide some context around that. So when I looked a little bit deeper into this, I think that ranking is a little bit of fool's gold here. So far this season, the best passing offense Virginia Tech has faced all year is Purdue at 57th, and three of the teams they faced have had a passing offense ranked below 100th. And like we talked about, when you're able to run the ball for over 200 yards a game, like Rutgers did, like Old Dominion, some of the teams that they held under 100 passing yards, I mean, if you're running the ball all over them, then do you even really need to throw it? So I think the passing defense has yet to really be tested like they're going to this week. You know, they have not faced receivers like Johnny Wilson, Keon Coleman, Jaheim Bell. You get Ja'Kai Douglas back this week, which is another speedy option in the slot. Hopefully we can see Destin Hill get involved. Winston Wright has been making some catches in practice. So it sounds like Portier is back, but I don't think he's going to be available this week, or at least not at full capacity. But they have not faced a passing offense like this so far. Jordan Travis will be the best quarterback they faced. So their defensive backs, I hope they pack a lunch, because they are going to be in for a challenge in this one. And I think while Florida State is going to make a point to run the ball in this game, to establish a run, and that's something that I'm really looking for in this one. I'm hoping they can hit over a buck 50, maybe even 200 on the ground, something we saw them do eight times last year, and they've only done once this year against Southern Miss, who's not any good. I think this is your opportunity to get the backs and this running game some confidence against a team that has not defended the rush well. And I do think Alex Atkins and Mike Norvell are going to make a point of that, to force the issue to get the run game going against a team that has not defended it well. But I do think you're also going to want to test the secondary to see if they really are as good as they say they are, because they, again, they have not been challenged against receivers like this. So we'll see how they hold up. Now, they are averaging 2.6 sacks per game, and they did get Dracovic, like I said, four times last week, but we know he's not exactly a mobile guy. And when you talk about Jordan Travis, hopefully this bye week has done enough to get him healthy to maybe not where he's running the ball 10, 12 times a game or anything like that, but just enough to keep the defense honest, enough to make them respect his elite running ability, or at a minimum to move the pocket if you know, protection breaks down. We know that one of his most elite running abilities is to make something happen when the pocket collapses. And so that is something that we'd like to see. Hopefully he's healthy enough. But as I've said before, you know, as the old saying goes, the best ability is availability. So I'm okay with Jordan doing what he has to do to protect himself, to be in the game, because him being present at quarterback is more important than him running the ball. But it is a big part of this offense, and him not being able to run the ball from being banged up or whatever reason it has been, I think has been a big part of the struggles this year. Now, when you talk about this defense, one of the other things that really stands out to me is they are currently allowing teams to score at a 100% clip in the red zone. They are tied for 126, which is dead last. So it's not been great for them so far in the red zone. And at the same time, another matchup to watch here is Florida State is currently scoring on 100% of trips into the red zone. So they're tied for first versus a defense that's tied for last. So if you can get into the red zone, you feel good about what they're able to do. Now, discussing special teams, because it's been a wild year for kickers, and we know the whole Clemson story last week. They do have a freshman kicker, but he has hit 6 of 7 field goals with 1 over 40 yards so far. Now, as we get ready to kind of wrap up and get into the prediction part, with this one, although Virginia Tech has gotten off to a rough start this season, they might have found something at quarterback and should have some newfound confidence after that Pitt win. This is also a team that, despite looking bad in the win-loss column, like we talked about, has kept a lot of their games close over the past two seasons. Knowing that Florida State has struggled against a mobile quarterback or mobile quarterbacks in the past, which, like we said, most teams do, that's my biggest concern in this game. If this were at night in Lane Stadium, like the Pitt game was last week, you might could convince me that it would be a little bit closer than the experts think, then closer than the spread. I think maybe they could cover something like that, but it's not. This game is in Doak Campbell. It's going to be sold out. You're going to have that tough environment to be your advantage, where they're going to have to go in there as a team that we know is still relatively young, has had some issues with communications on the field, and now you're going to have that advantage. You're the overmatched team, so I think that that is going to be an advantage for FSU there. Now, FSU might have a little bit of rust coming off the bye week. That is kind of typical, and we know that they've had some slow starts in the first half as well, but that bye week was extremely needed. I don't care about rust or not, because you had injuries that you needed to get healed, and that was really the most important thing. We will see if Robert Scott is back. He's been practicing. He's listed on the depth chart again. I don't know that he's 100%. It sounds like they're going to be bringing him along. Maybe he plays in this game. Maybe he don't. Maybe he's just on a snap count to start working him back in for a few more challenging games down the road. But I do think when you look at what Florida State should be able to do in this game, I think you'll be able to control the line of scrimmage on the defensive side of things. I think your defensive line is going to just wreak havoc in this game. And I think that will lead to your success on defense. I think on offense, this is one where you really want to get the run game going to open up the pass so you can challenge these DBs with receivers that they have not faced yet. And when you talk about the outcome of this game, now Florida State is a 23.5-point favorite. And what I really want to see here, Florida State is the better team. They're a 23.5-point favorite for a reason. They're at home in front of a sold-out crowd coming off a bye week that they had a chance to get healthy. They've been tested early. They beat two really good teams. I just want to see Florida State play a complete game for four quarters. We know about the first half starts. We know about the strong finishes in the fourth or in the second half. I want to see them put together just a complete game, play well for four quarters. Because, again, like we've talked about in the past, we know that the best half of football that they played was against LSU. And that's really the only dominant half of football that we've seen them play up to their full potential like we know that they can. The issue with me is that is starting to get farther and farther in the rearview mirror as you navigate down the road of your schedule. So it just becomes a question of when are we going to see that dominant Florida State team again? And that's what I'm hoping to see this week. So I would like to see them, like I said, play a clean game for four quarters and cover the spread would be nice as well. And I do think a couple of the deciding factors in this game, I don't expect Virginia Tech to come in and lay down by any means. They are a hard-nosed, hard-fighting team. And like we said, they keep a lot of games close. So I think they're going to be willing. I think they're going to put up a good fight. I just think it depends a lot on how long it takes for Florida State to call off the dogs. I mean, you obviously know it's a long season when you're trying to compete for championships. It's not necessarily like you are trying to win every game, so this is going to sound weird, but you're trying to win every game with a long-term mindset, not just like maybe last year where you needed to win games because you needed success on the field. The seat was getting hot, you needed the bump in recruiting and things like that. You need to win games, but you also have to keep that long-term mindset. You don't necessarily need to keep your starters in when the game is out of reach, but at the same time, Norvell's a very detail-oriented guy. He hears the noise. I'm sure he is very well aware that Florida State has dropped in the rankings twice after winning games, and I really do think that they've been punished twice for that Boston College game. When you talk about what they did at Clemson, that game was going to be close regardless. I mean, they don't lose in Death Valley. They lost three games since 2015, and I believe two of them were by 1 point or less, and one of them was in overtime. So to me, that's something where that game was going to be close regardless. But because it came after the Boston College game, everybody went, oh, is Florida State for real or not? Because they've had a couple of close games. So the reason I say that, I think that Norvell knows they need to win with style points. I think they need to come out and win this game in convincing fashion. So you may see them keep throwing punches in this fight a little bit longer than they normally would. But again, you just want to weigh that risk-reward benefit there. Now, I will say on a personal note, I don't know that there's a whole lot remaining around this program from 2018. I know Odell for sure is one of the people that are still around, but there's not a whole lot left because obviously we know when Mike Norvell came in, we've changed staffs. There's a lot of players that are off the roster and things like that. But for those of us that sat in Doak Campbell in 2018 and watched Virginia Tech come in and do what they did and their players were mocking the war chant and all this stuff, I hope this is a revenge game. I don't have the game being 56-6, but I would sure love for it to be a 50-point blowout just for a kind of take that and, you know, this is payback for what you put us through in 2018. So personally, I'm out for blood in this one, and I really hope that they absolutely smoke the turkeys. Hokies, because, I mean, what is a Hokie anyway? I mean, it's just basically a fancy way of saying turkey. So anyway, but I hope that they're able to do that. But I think this one's going to be a little bit closer than that. I still have them covering the spread. It's just that dual threat quarterback and a little bit of confidence they found last week. That's the only thing that does worry me in this game. But overall, I have Florida State winning this one 45-17. I feel good about Florida State maintaining that over 30-point streak that they've had for, I believe, 10 or 11 games now. I don't think that's going to be an issue there. And I think you're going to be able to limit this offense. I just think originally I had it being 45-10, but like I said, I told you guys that I had upped it a little bit to 45-17 because they did find some spark on offense, and I think that will benefit them into this game. But now with the mobile quarterback, and if Florida State doesn't come out and play disciplined, because we know they've had some issues with tackling in the past, hopefully, you know, Mike Norvell did touch on some of the flu and the sickness and things like that and said it actually affected them for 2 weeks, so that could have played into that Clemson game a little bit as well. If they don't come out and play their best football, if they have a little bit of rust from the bye week, if they don't play discipline, and I just, like I said, I don't want to buy into fool's gold with a win for Virginia Tech against a really bad team, but I could see this game even being something like 38-20, something like that. I just really think you don't want to have a Boston College type of situation where you have a close call again against a not great team. So I think you really just want to get this one at least comfortably by a couple of scores. So like I said, I could see anywhere from, if Florida State doesn't play their best day, maybe like a 38-20, but I still think you're going to be able to win this one by multiple scores. Overall, I mean, you just have a tough environment, a tough team, and this is not something that Virginia Tech has had to deal with yet. So it's going to be a reality check. I mean, you're stepping out of an amateur boxing ring and getting into, you know, a professional ring with Mike Tyson or something like that. And it's going to be a change of speed, a change of athleticism, a change in atmosphere. And one of the things that the Virginia Tech guys told me was they think it's really what's going to stand out in this game. They think Virginia Tech will, you know, they'll play hard, but you're going to see the difference in athleticism show its face throughout this game, where Florida State just has more team speed. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, and they're deeper. I know we talk about depth a lot of times with competing for championships and comparing yourselves to the Clemsons and the Georgias and the Alabamas of the world, but you still have better depth than what Virginia Tech has. So I think later in the game, you will be able to pull off. I think, you know, hopefully Florida State doesn't get off to another slow start, but I think they're going to be able to pull off in this one. Hopefully, maybe it's even kind of in the bag by halftime. So with that being said, I got Florida State winning 45-17, covering the spread. It could be maybe a little bit closer if they pull the dogs off early, or if, you know, if Florida State gets off to another start, if we see some of the mistakes that we hope got cleaned up. Because one of the things that worries me the most in this game when you talk about Kyron Drone's dual threat ability is the fact that Florida State has struggled with missed tackles in this game. And if you don't get him on the ground, he broke a lot of tackles against Pitt. So I'm hoping that they cleaned up a lot of that stuff through the bye week, and that would do wonders for them against this team who is they have some physical runners, and if you don't strap up and get ready to tackle, they'll run through you. So we'll see how it goes after this bye week. But do keep in mind, after the bye week last year, Florida State came out and beat four teams, although they weren't the greatest teams when you talk about Georgia Tech, Miami, Syracuse was okay, and then Louisiana, but they beat them 173-39 combined score. So I'm hoping that we see that improvement this year that we saw last year, and Florida State can go on a run and get hot at the right time, because we, like we said, we know they haven't played their best football yet, but they can still peak at the right time, and they still made it to the bye week 4-0 even not playing right. So if they can continue to get in rhythm like they did last year and peak towards the end of the season, that's what you want anyway. So that will be one thing in this game where I think Florida State does have to play clean. You cannot have a lot of mistakes. And speaking of mistakes, one thing to note about Virginia Tech, which we talked about this in Boston College and it played out on the field, is in their last three games, they've had 7, 9, and 10 penalties. So not the most disciplined group either, so that could be an advantage there. We know Florida State has cleaned up a lot of their penalties, even though, for the love of goodness, we cannot get calls to go our way. There are so many missed holding calls against Florida State that is absolutely frustrating. But I don't think it's really going to matter in this one. I still think Florida State's going to handle their business, and I think it's going to be a fun Saturday. You know, I think when you talk about matchups, I think this is a game that Florida State should handle, and I think it's going to be a fun environment inside of a sold-out Doak Campbell Stadium for the first home game in a month. So everybody's going to be really excited to be back. The weather looks to be nice. It's going to be a little warm, but it should be sunny. And then you also have a fan base coming in. You know, when you talk about opposing fan bases, obviously everybody knows we can't stand Miami fans. All 10 of them are just the most annoying fan base. Florida fans, that's a whole, like, it's no wonder Joe Exotic from the Tiger King is a Gator fan. He fits that build perfectly. So, but when you talk about good opposing fan bases, I think Virginia Tech is one of the best ones out there. So I'm excited to have someone who actually, hopefully, and we'll see. I know it's hard. It's a hard ask for you to travel when your team is 2-3, going on the road to play the number 5 team in the country. But this is a fan base that I'm hoping they show up and travel, because that's one thing when we talk about going to the SEC and the Big Ten is you maybe can get some games where you go to a big home environment, which is something that Virginia Tech has. I mean, they just sold out the Pitt game even at 1-3. So that speaks to their fan support. And I'm hoping that, you know, when you talk about the SEC, you can get teams that travel into your stadium so it can be a fun environment. And I'm hoping that that's what it is this week. I hope Virginia Tech does bring some fans, but they're really a classy fan base. So I'm looking forward to this one. I'm excited about it. I'm going to be headed to Tallahassee tomorrow, and I can't wait to get down there. I'm going to stop by Alumni Hall to grab some gear. You guys make sure you do the same. Use code SPEAR to get 10% off. And like I said, I really appreciate all the support you guys have shown for us and our sponsor. But if you see me around Doak Campbell, of course, always, like I say hi, give me a go, Knowles. I always chop back at everybody. Excited to meet up with some of you guys down there at the Southern Miss game. And, you know, every time we're in Tallahassee, it was a good time. So I appreciate everybody listening. We'll go ahead and wrap it up here. I will try to do some sort of post-game show. As most of you who have been to Doak Campbell Stadium know, the cell phone service down there is terrible. So hopefully the new updates that they're bringing to the stadium include some decent Wi-Fi. I actually tried to post a picture at the Southern Miss game, and it didn't actually go through until I think 9 a.m. the next day because it just nothing would happen there. So I will try to do something as far as I have the ability to do as far as a post-game show, but we'll see. I'll get something out for you guys, I promise, either a post-game podcast or something, whether it may be Sunday or not, but stay tuned for that. And in the meantime, we will catch you guys on the other side. Thanks for listening, and go Noles.